comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be somewhere else, and you've chosen to be here, and I appreciate it. It's the show where you matter. This weekend, we've got something special for our members area, and I want to... I've announced it every night since Friday night. And so it's almost a week I've been announcing it because I don't want anybody to miss. Jerry Wills is going to do a special edition on this weekend in the members area. It will be televised over our TV channel. And you have to be in the members area to watch that. So if you're not a member, now's the time. It's only 23 cents per day. That's $6.95 a month. It's a little cheaper if you go quarterly and a little cheaper yet still if you go annually. So take the time to join the members area, and then you'll be included in that. I'm a little bit apprehensive because two things. One, Jerry has asked me to be his guest, unplugged, and he's the host. He'll be hosting it. He'll be asking the questions, and I have no idea what he's going to ask. But he asked if I would be willing to go sort of unplugged and answer some questions in areas and about topics that I normally do not address and on this show. And so I've agreed to do that. So I'm a little apprehensive about that simply because I don't really know where that's going. And then, but that's okay. And then a little bit apprehensive because I'm not used to being on the guest side of the microphone. I have done it several times and I always enjoy it, but I'm always a little nervous about it, to tell you the truth. But it's going to be fun and I'm looking forward to it. I hope you'll be there. Now, that's in the members area. It will be Saturday evening at showtime, so look at your watch right now in your time zone. What time is it? Saturday. That's when this is going to happen, at this time, right now, okay? Now, let's see. Oh, and I will be in his studio. I'm going over to his studio, and I'll be in his studio for the show, so that'll be interesting. All right, K-Files, that's our free weekly newsletter. Now, if you're not already subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, you really, really ought to do it. I mean, look, it's free. And there's always tons of good information in there. There's the inside scoop about this show, what's happening here. There is, we always have some links to interesting videos. And then we always have some links to interesting stories, articles, things going on that are within our genre. It's free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and I recommend you do it. For the past several days, past couple of days now, those of you who have been listening to our show over at Indy 104 have noticed their site is down. I'll tell you about that when we come back.
Bye.
Welcome back to the show. Tonight is Open Line Live. In just a few minutes, we will open the telephone lines. They're not open yet. And that means it's BYOT night. That's bring your own topic. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. And this is an especially good night for all of you who have never called in before and you want to call in. This is an especially good night for that. Open Line Live is because we have a lot more telephone time available and we can get more calls in. So you have a better chance of getting in. Get your fingers ready to do the dialing. And whenever I open up the telephone lines in a few minutes, be Johnny on the spot. All right. A couple of things we need to talk about, first. We can get to the open line stuff. Indy, what's the deal with Indy 104? Well, you remember, we had a situation last month where our site was down for, I think, 2 days. Just disappeared. And when you tried to go there, you got a page that said that site's not available. Well, we got that fixed. We didn't get hacked. It was just some weird business stuff. Basically, the domain registrar did not send us a notice that we needed to renew the domain. And it expired without me knowing that it was about to expire. I knew we were getting close, but I wasn't sure what the date was. And they always send me a notice. And then, you know, it's got a link in it. You just click the link and then pay for another year. And but they didn't do that. What they did. They sent it to an alternate email address that I never use. Who knows why? Well, it's a little bit of a mystery as to what's up with Indy. Their site is all still there on their server. The domain name, everything is clear, everything is fine. But for some reason, that server is apparently not working. And that server is not in this country. So they're having some difficulty trying to get that back up and online, but hopefully they will real soon. Meanwhile, I would invite everyone who listens to Indy 104, if you don't have a direct link where you can listen, all you need to do is come over to my website, and you can click on the alternate listen link, and it will open their player, okay? It's a little complicated. You can get their player to open and play, and that's good, and you can listen to the station. A little complicated to explain how is it we can hit that player, but their site's down. But trust me, it works, okay? I got an email. You may notice that sometimes, those of you who are members, sometimes during commercial breaks, an ad comes up on your screen if you're watching the show that says, join us in the members area. And you're probably thinking, well, why is that there? Everyone who's watching is a member. Well, yeah, except we use those videos for other things sometimes. And on the off chance that we're going to use the video of, say, last night's show or tonight's show or whatever, somewhere else for something else, then there is that ad in there inviting people to join the members area so they too can watch the shows. So that's the answer to that email. All right. What do you think about your world? What do you think about your universe? You know, we play an ad on the TV channel that says, it's just graphics, but it says, just when you think, it starts out by saying there's more to know than what we already know, and just when you think you've arrived, a whole new universe of information explodes into view. So you're familiar with that, right? Well, guess what just happened to the astronomers? This is out of Paris. A whole old universe has exploded into view. They thought they had pretty well mapped the universe. They thought they had pretty well gotten all the galaxies that are out there, and there are billions, trillions, gazillions of galaxies out there, but they thought they had it pretty well mapped. And then, and by doing that, of course, by mapping it, they were able to determine what were the oldest galaxies, and they estimated the date of the universe, the age of the universe. And I think it's somewhere around 14 or 14 and a half billion years old. That's pretty old. But it's older than that. Because what they found out, well, just listen to this. Astronomers may have underestimated the tally of galaxies in some parts of the universe by as much as 90%. According to a study reported Wednesday in Nature, the weekly British science journal. Now, what they did is, instead of using optical light with really super sensitive telescopes, they decided to look for light that was not in the optic range. And they did it with a couple of telescopes, telescope lenses. But the one that produced the results was the Hydrogen Alpha telescope. It was tuned to look for what they call Hydrogen Alpha light waves. And what they found was that when they looked at a section of the universe that they already had mapped, and it already looked like they had it all, then they turned on the Hydrogen Alpha telescope, and there was about 90% more out there than they even dreamed existed. Now, when you, and well, listen to this. It says, you know, forget about. They were looking way back, you know, in time, and it says forget about the time when the universe was just a child. What we thought was that date, well, we're now beyond that, and now it says these are galaxies that were forged at the time when the universe was in fact just a child. Okay, so it goes back beyond the original estimation. The universe is far bigger than they knew last week. On this show, I say all the time, and look, I've had people write to me and ask me if I think, you know, do I think I just know everything? Because I challenge so many concepts of science. And the answer to that is no. It's not that I think I know everything. It's that I'm smart enough to know those other guys don't know everything. I'm smart enough to know that things that we think are rock-solid facts are subject to change in a matter of seconds. And I'm smart enough not to hang my hat on a peg and believe that that peg will be there 100 years from now. You've heard me say it. You've heard me say that I don't think there is any such thing as laws of physics. Not at all. I think what we call laws of physics are just descriptions of our current understanding of how things work. And some smart guy or gal is going to come along and step right over one of those big laws of physics, and we're going to be in a whole new paradigm. You know, Isaac Newton stepped over a bunch of those assumed laws of the universe. And then when Einstein came along, he stepped over Isaac Newton's laws, and it was a whole new paradigm. Well, don't think you have arrived. Because what there is to know is by far more vast than what there is that we do know. And a lot of times what we do know, we don't know. We think we know, but it's really comes down to we believe. We believed we had the universe mapped, but that was last week. This week, we now know that at least in some parts of the universe, there are 90% more galaxies. Now, this opens up whole new vistas for thinking. Consider, we already knew about gazillions of galaxies out there. We already knew about gazillions, or I don't even know, of stars. I don't know how you designate the number. I mean, it's like more than you can count. Up until 1995, we thought there were no other planets out there. We now know about almost 500 of them. And we're finding more all the time. And that's just fairly close to us here. Speaking in galactic terms, it's fairly close to us. So when you now add 90% more galaxies out there, what do you think the chances really are that in all of that, there's only us? Seems pretty incomprehensible, doesn't it? It seems very incomprehensible. All right. I got another story or two from the news, another article or two from the news that perhaps I will share with you tonight. But I want to go ahead and open up the telephone lines and invite you to join us. It's Bring Your Own Topic night. And it's that means if you don't want to talk about anything that I have brought up, then whatever there is on your mind that you would like to talk about within our genre, we'll talk about it. All right, it's kind of like talk show jukebox, and you can choose your own topic, just like in a jukebox you can choose your own song. All right, so we can talk about any topic. Maybe we can, you know, a book that you've read that's within our genre. Maybe a guest that we have had on that you agreed with or disagreed with. That's okay either way. Maybe something I said that you agree with or disagree with. That's okay either way. And in order to make that happen, we have provided you with some telephone numbers. The telephone number all over the world, the main number here at the studio, is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, if you're in the USA or Canada, is 888-223-4599. Now, that toll-free number only works in the USA and Canada. So for people that are not in the USA and not in Canada, and you don't want to pay for the international long-distance call to call our main number, and we would welcome your call, but you don't want to do that, okay. I don't have a toll-free number for you, but I do have a flash message option on the website. So you just go over to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you will see a link that says flash message. Okay, but that's if you're outside the USA, outside of Canada. Every night when we go off the air, and I start doing the things I do after the show, one of the things I do is empty the delete box in the flash message board. And that clears it out so it's good and ready to go the next day. I've told you about our filters, and every night I find two or three from the United States or Canada that are in the delete box that didn't listen to the announcement, and they sent me a flash message. But we have it set up, folks, so that the flash messages are, that's kind of like the toll-free number for people that are not in the USA or Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, use one of the telephone numbers and we'll be glad to talk with you. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, let's see here. Let's try that again. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Jerry. I'm calling from Ohio.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, the topic I'd like to bring up is your show specifically. I've been listening to your show for about 3 weeks, and I just wanted to know a little bit more about it. I mean, how long has it been on? You know, are you on any radio stations or is it only the internet? I kind of was on a forum for kind of dissatisfied old Coast to Coast AM listeners, and your name was popping up left and right, especially to give you credit for taking your calls unscreened.
That is correct. I do take the calls unscreened. I tried using a screener. Because everybody told me, you got to do that. You know, as the show was growing and it was getting bigger, people said, you got to use a screener. And I tried that. But when you do, even if your screener is not actually screening anyone out, if he's just lining up the calls for you, people feel like they have to somehow get past that screener to get to me. And it's less spontaneous. And I didn't like it. And so I tried it for about a month, and then I stopped using a screener, when you call, if you get into an open line, then and you're next up, I find out who you are at the same time the audience does.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, a little history on the show.
Better feel, you know, more authentic.
Yeah. All right, a little history on the show. The show began in 2000. When I was serving overseas, I was in Kosovo, and I started the show when I was in Kosovo, and it has originated as I traveled around the world. The show traveled with me, and so it has originated from Kosovo, from Serbia, from Romania. Jerry, a break just took over. Can you hang on? I'll get you on the other side of the break.
Sounds good.
All right, hang in there. You won't hear anything on the line, but you're on hold. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight. Bring your own topic. And, Jerry, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Okay. So the show started in 2000 in Kosovo. I have broadcast the show from Kosovo, from Serbia, Romania, Italy, Vienna. I think I did one in Albania, one or two in Albania. And then from a couple of different places in Australia, East Timor, Indonesia, Thailand, and a bunch of other places all over the world. So that's been going on since 2000. 2004, I came back here to the United States and decided to kind of settle down and quit traveling the world, and that's what I did and focused on the show, and it's just been growing by leaps and bounds ever since. So
now, are you carried on any traditional radio stations or is it?
Yeah, we have a few. I haven't really focused on that a whole lot. But we have a few. We have EM stations, a few FM stations, a few, one shortwave station, and then we're on cell phones and iPods, TiVo, and but the bulk of the audience is internet radio audience.
Yeah,
and it's in 143 countries.
Well, I I appreciate the information, and I appreciate the show, and keep up the good work, and it's really a very refreshing show to be able to listen to, and I really like your interviewing style, and just everything about the shows is really good. So
well, thank you. I appreciate it. You're a first-time caller, aren't you?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Gotta give you some applause.
I appreciate it.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. We kicked it off with a first-time caller. That's good. And I would invite a lot of other first-time callers tonight. Like I said, Open Line Live is the best time for you to, if you've never called in and or maybe you've tried and you just haven't been able to get in, Open Line Live is the best time to do it because we have more telephone time available to us. And you know, it's your chances of getting through go way up. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm calling from Conroe, Texas.
I know right where Conroe, Texas is. I'm a Texas
North
boy.
North Houston, about 50 miles.
Yeah. I'm from Texas, so I know where that is. And your first name?
Okay. I'm John.
John. All right, John, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say that your show is refreshing. I have been listening for the last couple of months, recently joined, and wanted to say that I am fascinated with your topics, your handling of these wide variety of topics is very professional, and I found it enlightening, and you know, it makes my day.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. John, what line of work are you in? Don't tell us the name of the company or anything, just generally what line of work.
Oh, I'm a geophysicist. I do oil and gas exploration. I'm always on the edge of things.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, technologically.
Since you're a geophysicist, what do you think about my statement that there are no laws of physics? They're just descriptions of our current understanding.
Oh, I can buy into that.
This is some...
Be flexible. I mean, yeah. Are you familiar with Bill Tiller's work out of Stanford?
Only slightly. You know, let me tell you, I've only read some, like, one or two paragraph reviews kind of stuff.
Well, his The books that he's published are they're published by a small publishing company, if not his own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're expensive, but so worth reading, and it will reinforce everything that you think about the laws of physics. In other words, there are no laws, because what he is doing is overturning these.
Mm-hmm.
With what he has found. I mean, he's a world-class crystallographer, as you know. Good scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Well-reputed. I mean, very good reputation. There's no doubt about that in the field of crystallography. However, when he gets into other things, the scientific community tends to ignore him. However, he does approach those areas with the same rigor that he has with his previous scientific accomplishments.
Well, and it's kind of a badge of honor if the scientific community overlooks your work and ridicules it. And the reason I say that is, look at Einstein. You know, they ridiculed him for a long time.
Well, and Tesla too, right?
Well, and Tesla, you know, and we're all using Tesla's electronic stuff now. So, yeah, and so that's kind of a badge of honor. But, I really absolutely cannot buy the idea that we have it figured out to the point we can call it a law of physics.
No, we're just scratching the surface. Anybody that's a real scientist knows we're just scratching the surface.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, the Large Hadron Collider, they fired it up this past week, past couple of days here, and used the highest energy ever generated and did a collision or two of some protons. In the article that I read about it, it went into detail about the fact that they're looking for the Higgs boson, and I won't get into all that with the details of that, but it's sort of the conveyor belt for energy, I think. It's postulated to be that, but anyway,
they're shooting in the dark, you know, that's what they're doing.
But here's the deal. The article says if they can find it, it will fill in a significant portion of the missing information in the standard theory of physics.
Well, that is the issue here. I mean, they're looking for things according to a paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only going to find what you're looking for according to the paradigm.
That's right. That's right.
And, I mean, I would rather them be shooting in the dark and going, well, let's see what we get, rather than let's see whether or not this fits our theory.
You're exactly right. And there may be some folks there that are sharp enough and bright enough and creative enough that if they don't get what they're looking for, maybe some of those really sharp and creative folks will say, well, yeah, but look what we did get. Let's figure this out.
Well, you got to figure out what the, you know, scientific restraints are when you get to that level of study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're pretty much railroaded into thinking along certain lines. I mean, you might as well have, you know, your blinders on, because you can't think too far outside of the conventional box if you're going to be working in that kind of environment, if you've got to that level so far.
Mm-hmm.
Politically, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, because then you hit the electron ceiling.
Well,
they make you leave.
Kind of like the Michael Cremo thing of, you know.
Well, listen, John.
His interpretation of, you know, archaeological past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's no way anyone in the conventional anthropological academia could ever rise to the point of getting a PhD if they bought into his theories, the point that they tried to make it stick in a PhD thesis.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Or dissertation. No way.
Well, that's true.
No.
The way you get a PhD is you regurgitate back to the professor his knowledge.
Well, yeah. And so, I mean.
Yeah. Well, John, look, I want you to know I really appreciate the call. And what's the weather like in Texas right now?
It's a first-time call.
Okay. All right. Well, look, here's some applause.
Enjoy your show. And I just want to give you feedback. I will be a loyal listener.
Well, I appreciate it very much. What's the weather like in Conroe right now?
Oh, it's about 68 degrees right now. The hot tub's great. The sky is clear. And just ready to have some champagne and look at some stars.
All right. You have a good evening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks for the call. Wow. I've got a friend that lives in Conroe. And I know that amazes some of you that I have a friend. But but I do. I have a friend that lives in Conroe. We serve together overseas. And so I know right where Conroe is. All right, 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature. You go to my website and you simply scroll down and you'll see a link that says flash message. From Stuart in Japan, by the way, Stuart, thank you so much for the new spot you sent. It's running tonight. He says, hi, Kevin. The special on the weekend sounds like it will be really interesting. However, I may not be able to catch it live. Will the show be available later on the members area? Stuart and everyone else in the members area, we're going to try to do that. Whenever we do those special broadcasts in the members area, you know, where it's got that chat panel on the side, we're not using our normal TV service. We're using a different service. And so it gets kind of technical. It's very, very difficult, if not usually impossible, for us to record that. In terms of the video, I mean, we can get an audio recording of it, but in terms of capturing the video and having it available, it's very, very difficult on that service. But we're going to try. It's one of the reasons, one of the benefits of me being over at Jerry's studio is we have only one studio to deal with then, and we think it'll work. We'll try. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show Open Line Live Night. Bring your own topic and let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Donna from California.
Hello, Donna.
I have a question. Last night, your guest is like my favorite guest you've ever had on. I really enjoy every time you guys have all these great discussions that are mostly over my head, but... I was wondering if you could tell me anything about him, like where is he from, where was he born, what did he do before? I've searched the internet trying to find information on him. He's never written anything. He seems to have an awful lot of information, and I just find him to be a really super interesting person.
I'll tell you what I know. He lives in Texas. He mentioned the other night, I think I understood this correctly, he mentioned that he is originally from the area of Dublin, Texas. And that's in, you know, the big UFO flap that was in Texas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dublin is right in that area where that happened. But he doesn't live there. I think that's where he's from.
What did he used to do?
Well, he's done a lot of different things, to the best of my understanding. He's got a lot of knowledge in, refining, metals, ores down to the metals that the ores contain. He's worked with gold and platinum and stuff like that, but I don't know a whole lot about him, except this. The way that I was put in touch with him is one of the AlphaCom team members that listens to this show, recommended that I call him and talk to him. And in that conversation that I had with the AlphaCom team member, I said, well, what do you think? You know, is he pretty straight? He said, I find him to be very, very interesting. And I said, you think it's reliable information? He said, yeah, I do. And so I called him. He, you know, the AlphaCom team member gave me the telephone number, and I called the guy. And that's really about all I know, is that he was recommended to me by AlphaCom.
I could listen to the two of you guys every night. can I ask you one more thing? You know that,
sure.
that Norway spiral?
Uh-huh.
If that was a missile or a rocket or something, how come everybody said there was no noise? Doesn't a missile or a rocket always make a noise?
All the ones I ever knew anything about made noise.
Okay. Know? All right.
I know there's a theory out there that it was a missile and that there was some kind of super high energy weapon that reached out and grabbed that missile and stopped it and spun it. That's one of the theories. I still don't see a missile in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there is, but I'm still not convinced that there was a missile at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kevin, I really enjoy your show. And for the smart aleck that was in the chat room today that told me that you were retiring and then finally told me April Fool's, shame on you.
Yeah, shame indeed.
Shame on you guys.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right, you have a good evening.
All right, bye-bye. Retiring, that'll never happen. There's no way I can retire. I've got a six-year-old son. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
I am doing well, sir.
You weren't in the chat room telling everybody things like that, were you?
No. No.
Good, good. Did you ever get that information from the lady in Tennessee?
She did send it to me. I have not yet sent it to you because I've been as busy as a man fighting a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
Well, but
my daughter this evening, and I told her about it. And she's willing to work with me on that to find out what we can find out. And I may be going down there in another week.
Well, I will get it to you either tonight or tomorrow. I'm running about 2 to 3 days behind on answering current email. And you remember when the site went down and it was missing?
Sure. Yeah.
Dealing with all of that put me about 2 months behind. Now, you know, you wouldn't think 2 days could do that. But what happens is I couldn't send or receive email. And so then when the site came back up and I was able to, I had so much email that it would take about 2 months for me to reply to all of it. And I've been trying to get caught up. So I'm still about 2 days behind on current email.
Okay. I know I went and tried to, I checked on my casing, files, easing, casing, whatever, and I signed back in to get it, and it said I was already signed in, so I just closed it. I hadn't received it in a couple of weeks now. So.
Yeah, we sent it out.
Yeah.
So what happens sometimes, If your email box is over quota, it'll reject it. Or if your spam filters are set up so that it's rejecting any kind of bulk mail, it's going to reject the K files because we do send it out bulk mail. Imagine how long it would take if I sent them one at a time. So it's sure. Okay. So you need to check that. And usually there's a way where you can authorize, okay, I don't want bulk mail, but that one's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So check that because, we are sending it out.
I was getting them until your computer crashed. And then after that, that's where the problem started.
Yeah. Well, the computers didn't crash. All that happened was the domain name became inaccessible.
Right.
And so, actually, nothing changed.
Okay.
You know? So, check with your spam filters. Because you have, I know you have a new computer.
Yes.
So, that may be it.
It could be. I'll go back and check that again. I have it set up to receive the inbox and junk box for things that it thinks should be in, you know, not coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to check and make sure yours is allowable.
Okay.
All right, Kevin, you have a great night. Good show, buddy.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Let me check over on the Flash message board real quick and see if we've got anything over there. Nothing new. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
This is Tony from Norman, Oklahoma.
Hello, Tony.
Or Terry.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we have to do that. Terry. Hi, Terry.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Has Oklahoma settled down, or are you still having earthquakes over there?
No, we only had one.
Oh, okay.
And I felt it.
Was it fun?
And it was in, the epicenter was in Sparks.
I'm very familiar with Oklahoma, but I don't know where Sparks is.
Sparks is 40 miles east of east of OKC.
Okay.
And
all right.
I felt it here in Norman. I'm off of Highway 9, if you know anything about that area.
I had a girlfriend in Norman, Oklahoma at one time. I did.
How bad?
When I was in high school. She wow. lived in Norman, and I lived in Dallas, and I met her on the beach in Corpus Christi.
Wow.
Yep.
That now, is weird.
Yep. And if I'm not mistaken, you have Norman was the home of a very famous teacher's college that became a university. Is that right?
I'm sure about that.
Okay, hang on just a second. We have to go to break. I'll get you when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back, and hopefully we still have Tony, or maybe it's Terry, on the line from Norman, Oklahoma. Tony, you had asked me a question, and I had to cut us off right in the middle of the break. So the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, you were just talking about a girl you had met who was from Norman.
Oh, yeah.
The question is, go on.
Well, that's all. We dated two or three times, and the distance was just too great, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd drive from Dallas over there, and we'd go out, and it was just too far to drive for a date.
Yeah.
She was a stunner, though, I'll tell you that. She was a stunner.
Yeah. There's a lot of pretty girls here in Oklahoma. That's
yeah.
For sure.
That's true.
And Texas.
That's true. And Thailand.
Question. And Thailand?
Yeah. That's where my current girlfriend is, you know, the one I married.
Yes, I know. You had pictures of her up one time on your site, and I missed them.
Well,
I'll
put some pictures. I'll run a picture or two tomorrow then.
Because I've been talking to a few girls from the Philippines, and I find them attractive also.
Yeah, I just of course this is not in our genre, but when I met my wife, I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. And she definitely was not looking for me.
Okay, my question is, I guess it's sort of political, but it's very strange. It was from Monday night on the internet, and all it says is something about it is official, something about provost marshals to serve the 50 governors of all 50 states, that we were going to go back to de jure, common law government of the people. Did you hear anything about that?
No. No, I didn't.
And I guess it's all baloney, because apparently nothing's happened.
Was that on the internet today?
No, it was on Monday. It was on Above Top Secret.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it, but listen, just because I didn't hear it, that doesn't mean it's not so, because I read incessantly. I'm diving through the news of all kinds every day, and I probably get maybe 1% of it. There's just so much going on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know if anything like this is actually in the works, but it sure would be great if it was. And one more question, if I could,
mm-hmm.
about do you know anything more about Dick Criswell and AlphaCom? Is anything like that going back into effect?
I don't know. I talked with Dick Criswell this week. But that topic didn't come up. I really don't know if they're going to do it or not. It's my guess is that there's so much on the political plate now that probably it will not happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm afraid of. Although, seems to me like this would help the situation all around, I believe.
Well, from my point of view, it would. From the point of view of people who have spent their entire political career running from this information, I'm not sure they would see it that way.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for definitely sure.
But,
anyway, I guess...
Yeah, I don't expect that we're going to have disclosure as an official thing. I think they're going to continue to dribble information out like they've been doing for the past couple of decades. But I really don't think there's going to be any kind of official disclosure.
And that the supposed meetings that had been going on between the supposed 30 nations and these three races of aliens who say that they're going to do it?
If that information is true, then what will happen is the aliens are going, if that information's true, then the aliens are going to do disclosure themselves, which is pretty much going to nullify any relevance of any government that was covering it up.
Definitely. I think that's what we need.
Well, we live in interesting times. We'll see.
Yes.
Who knows?
I guess we will.
Yeah. I've already seen more than I thought I'd ever see. So.
I've seen a few things myself.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the call.
Close and personal.
Thanks for the call, Terry.
Thank you, Kevin. Take care now.
All right, Tony. Bye-bye. For those of you who are new to the show, you don't know about the Terry Tony thing. I just have this like firewall in my head. He calls and says, "This is Tony." And sometime during the conversation, I always call him Terry. And so that's what that was about. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, I was wondering, what do you think the explanation for those large anomalies on the the meteorological radar could be. Have you been following that story?
Yeah, I read something about that, and I saw a picture, and I'm trying to recall now what the details were because I've read so much in the past couple of days. Refresh my mind on that.
Well, the main story for it is at the UFO Chronicles, but that you can get the link to it. But there's been some anomalies showing up on meteorological radar, weather radar, that like over Australia. They look like big...
The big concentric circles look like a target.
Yeah, I don't know if it's HARP or maybe James. If James is listening, maybe he can explain it or something. I just thought I'd see if there's anybody in the audience that might have some kind of reasonable explanation for what those could be. But the agency said that they're interference, and they're looking into it. They said it was interference. So something that's never happened before. They look like big. Some people are even saying they could resemble crop circles. I don't personally know if they resemble crop circles, but they're big spirals in mm-hmm. radar data. So,
yeah.
Anyways, maybe someone in the audience knows.
We'll find out.
All right.
Thanks for the call. All right. Yeah, now I recall. I've been seeing those for a month or so. The pictures are stunning because over major cities in Australia, these weather satellites have been getting these pictures of these spirals. It's not clouds either, and it's pretty interesting, very interesting. They had one, I believe it was on the northeast coast of Australia, where it was concentric, and it showed up as red circles. So that was just weird, very weird. Speaking of Australia, we have a flash message from Kevin in Australia. Good day, Mr. Kevin Smith. How is Mr. Dick Criswell? And send him my best wishes, please. Also, Indonesia just had a 5.2 earthquake today, and I hope everyone is okay. Question, Kevin, what are your thoughts on the 1940s Aztec crash? Fact or fiction? This refers, folks, to Aztec, New Mexico. Everybody's heard of Roswell. But there is a story out there that there was also a crash of a UFO at Aztec. And do I think it's fact or fiction? Well, I would have to put this into the same basket that I put Roswell in, and that is that there seems to be evidence, although apparently not as much evidence as Roswell. But there seems to be evidence that there was a crash of something out there at Aztec. So, you know, do I think it's fact or fiction? You know, if I were to say either one, I would be expressing a belief. I believe it's fact or I believe it's fiction. And I really try to shy away from that, try to stay away from saying that I think something is a fact unless I know it's a fact. And I don't want to label something as fiction unless I know it's fiction. And in this case, I just don't. I think it's very interesting. I think there's some compelling evidence. And it goes into that basket of we'll see. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Mike again from Kentucky. Kevin, can you call more than once on a night like this?
Mike, normally no, but you made it, so I'm going to let you.
This Aztec, New Mexico story, it's been around for a long time, and I think Frank Edwards kind of brought it out to start with, but as I was doing my research in this field years and years ago, I ran up on a guy from Sedona, Arizona, by the name of Virgil Posty Armstrong. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
And... he has written a couple of books, small booklets, and I talked to him, and he said that when the Aztec incident happened, that he was stationed in North Carolina at an army base there, and the call came into there, and he was a major at that time, and he was the only one available to take the call. So he noted the details of it, and he made some calls and sent somebody out to check it out. Now, Postie said that it was definitely a true story. He is known in the, or was known, I don't know if he's still with us, in the Sedona, Arizona area as someone who is a naturalist. He goes out into the desert. He takes people on tours. He's like a little bit like Jerry, and he takes people on tours to South America to do things like this. But I haven't talked to him in several years now. But I do know that he was a Green Beret during World War II and made a couple of jumps into China during that time. And so he seems like he might have been reliable based on the information I found out. But never having met him face-to-face and looked him in the eye, I just can't say for sure.
Okay, now, is Aztec the one where they recovered, it's reported that they recovered a mostly intact, crashed UFO?
Yes, it was a large 100-foot in diameter vehicle, and it just sort of sat down on remote pilot, and the Army came out and encircled it, and they watched it for a couple of days before they ever approached it, and what happened is they found a small hole in one of the so-called portholes. It was a metallic-type porthole, a metallic glass, they said. But it, like a meteoroid or something, had hit and punched a hole in it and depressurized it, and so the vehicle came in on automatic pilot and just sat down. And there were dead crewmen still sitting in their seats where it had just, you know, lost pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked and looked for ways to get in, and they couldn't get in. And so they kept working at this little hole, and they tried to cut it with all different types of things and get it open, but they couldn't. But they, somehow they managed to get the hole that had been caused by the meteoroid large enough that they could extend a long pole over to where they could see from the inside there was a door, and he pushed some kind of a button, and the door opened. You couldn't see it from the outside. And so then they went in, according to his story, and they brought the little bodies out. They were the small ones, 3 to 4 feet tall. They said they kept messing with it, and they found out how to turn it off and on. They said when the engines were running, said 100 people couldn't budge the thing. Said, but when the engines were turned off and there was no motors running in it, that a little kid could just pick up one side of it. That's how light it was.
Interesting.
It's a very interesting story. Most of your people in ufology, you kind of poo-poo the whole thing and play it down, but I just leave the door open, you know, just a crack, just in case something does come out of it.
Well, and, you know, that's like I said, I don't want to label something as fiction unless I know it's fiction. Nor do I want to label it as fact unless I know it's a fact.
Exactly.
And see, the problem is for a lot of folks, they really feel lots of folks feel uncomfortable with that. They feel like, well, I've got to decide, is this fiction or is this fact? And I don't feel uncomfortable at all with it. I can say, you know what, I don't know.
Right. Frank Edwards was a reputable journalist, you know, prior to him writing on this subject. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody started trying to take shots at Frank Edwards, you know, and blaming that his cases came from unreputable sources and things of this nature. I'm sure you probably read some of his books.
Yeah, you know, I know the name, and I know I've got a book over there, but I can't think of which book it is that's on the shelf over there. But I do have a Frank Edwards over there.
Flying Saucers, either Serious Business or Flying Saucers Have Landed, I think, were the two. And he also put out a long play record, Flying Saucers, Serious Business. And I happen to still have that record, that vinyl record in my collection of UFO materials that I've collected over the past 50 years plus.
All right, now this this guy Postie that you came across, did you interview him on the phone or anything like that?
Oh, I used to call him all the time. We developed kind of a friendship, and I would call him, and he would tell me, I would ask questions, he would answer them, and he would even volunteer things. And he put out a series of little booklets and also some videotapes, which I have. One of them is called A Letter to Henry. And in this letter to Henry, it deals with an Air Force officer writing a letter to his wife telling about a trip that he and his group had taken to Mars. It's quite interesting.
And this guy named Virgil Postie, he was a major in the, Air Force?
I think if memory serves, I'd have to do some checking because it's been a while since I looked at it. But I think he was in the Army Air Corps during World War II. He may have gone on straight into the Air Force. But I think in 1948, when he took that call, it was still the Army Air Corps.
Yeah, it would be. All right. Good information. Thanks much.
Okay.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. BYOT, bring your own topic, whatever it is that's on your mind, we'll talk about it, if it's in our genre, all right? And that means, of course, we're not going to talk about how to fix your car, re-roof your house. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. I'm just calling about just a couple of questions I asked yesterday with James.
Okay.
Yeah, like one of them was Einstein's putting together gravity with acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
And what James said was he didn't really like Einstein.
Yeah, he said he's not really a fan of Einstein's.
Yeah, well,
and that comes, to the general population, that may come as a surprise. In the scientific community, that's not a surprise.
Well, my understanding about that is when the phrase unified field theory is used, my understanding, and now I could be wrong, but my understanding is that it's Einstein's field equations trying to combine with quantum mechanics right at the subatomic level, and they haven't been able to work that out. So I guess what I would say is whether you like Einstein or not, his equations are still a big part of what they're trying to figure out.
Oh, sure. Same thing is true with Isaac Newton.
With what, sorry?
The same thing is true with Newton. You can't discount everything Newton wrote because a whole lot of what Einstein does is based on Newton. Physics, of course, was he's the father of physics. Newton is, but Einstein says, Newton works until you get big bodies moving really, really fast. And then Newton's laws of motion don't work. And, what you could be looking at here with what you were saying about Einstein is Einstein stuff works until you're looking at really small bodies, quantum level. And then it doesn't work at that level.
Have you ever interviewed Nassim Haramein?
Yes.
I really think that he's probably gonna totally change physics. That's the feeling I get when I listen to him.
Yeah, he views every particle as a fractal of the whole.
Yeah, and exactly, and it goes to, like, it's always dividing towards zero, but it, of course, it doesn't actually ever reach zero.
Mm-hmm.
And so he refers to that as a mini black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the outside of that, we see the expansion of the universe. So his whole concept is you've got an expansive force set against a force that's always trying to reach zero through a fractal process.
Mm-hmm.
And between those two, like when I asked James about the tetrahedron within a sphere or
yeah.
a circle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basics of Nassim-Haramein's structure. Now, I have to go over that because I don't quite understand how a tetrahedron begins the whole thing. But that's his basic geometric structure for describing how the universe expands and contracts simultaneously. And that's the basis of his theory. And he's wrote the mathematics for it. And he's actually gotten rid of the strong and the weak force of right at the nuclear level, the strong nuclear force.
Yeah, do you want to hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. I'll be right back. All right, folks, we got to step away for a couple of minutes. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. On the line with me is John, I hope. Are you still there, John?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. I had to cut you off in mid-sentence, and you were saying that Nassim-Haramein has gotten rid of the strong and weak force.
Strong and weak nuclear force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the reason is because he sees the atom as a mini black hole. So the strong and weak nuclear force is taken care of by gravity because it's within a black hole. So the force within a mini black hole would keep protons together because normally they would repel.
Yes.
And so instead of inventing a strong and weak nuclear force, he just says within a mini black hole, gravity will keep those protons together in spite of the fact that they want to repel. And so he's actually gotten rid of those two forces. So that's really going to revolutionize physics as it stands today.
Well, it will. If his theories are peer-reviewed and accepted, having been peer-reviewed, it took Einstein forever for that to happen for him. But if that happens for Nassim, it's going to open up vast, vast new vistas of inquiry into everything having to do with electricity, everything having to do with frequencies,
yeah.
everything having to do with propulsions,
right.
and time.
Well, I totally agree with you, Kevin. And if people begin to turn that into technology, I mean, we're talking a complete change, a complete revolution.
Yeah, we are.
And so I really do think that this is what's going to happen.
Do you think the scientific community will give him his due?
He I've seen it. I'm only talking about his videos. But he did win some kind of an award in a physics community where they awarded him some kind of recognition, and it's all based on his physics.
Well, that's a step in the right direction then. John, I have to run, but I want to thank you. Very interesting conversation.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye.
Bye. All right. 623-444-5889. I have a flash. I've got a flash message from Taiwan wanting to know, you know, I used to wear that real dark green hat, and he wants to know what's happened to the hat. He liked the hat. You're not going to believe this. I left it in a restaurant. I did. I walked off, left it in the restaurant. Of course, when I walked into the restaurant, I took the hat off. When I got to the table, I put it in a spare chair beside me. When we left, I walked off and left it. And, of course, when I went back, it wasn't there. So that's what happened to the hat. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Sort of in line with our last caller, folks, do you remember I think it was in Men in Black 2, the movie. I think that's where it was. It was either that one or Men in Black, the first movie, one or the other. There was a galaxy that was in a small little ball that hung around a cat's neck on a collar. Remember that? Who's to say galaxies have to be gigantic? They could be tiny. In fact, ours may be. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Perry from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hi, Perry. I called you Harry last night, but I'll get it straight today.
That's okay. I'm not very hairy at all. I'm trying very hard to be like you.
Well, I've got a lot of miles on me to get here, I can tell you that.
I was just curious if you'd be interested in an angel story.
Sure.
Okay. I've never told this story on any radio show, so I'm going to try and make it as short as possible.
All right.
I'm 45. When I was 20, I was having a midlife crisis, and I didn't know what was up and down in life. And I would find myself going to the wilderness, places to go and, like, talk with God. And I didn't know if there was even a God, or if there was a God or if there wasn't a God. But my soul was crying. And one day, I believe, that, I had an experience with an angel that occurred after I put God to the test. And I said, if you can really hear me, then help me catch a fish. And I was, that day I just brought a fishing pole and I very surprisingly left all my bait at home. So all I had was a fishing pole and line and a couple of hooks. So I tried to fish, and interestingly enough, within a minute I caught a fish. Without bait. And I thought that was very odd. Now, I'm not a professional fisherman at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, God, if you did it once, you can do it again. And so I took the fish off the hook, and I cast my line. The hook hit the water. Within about a 2 or 3 seconds, I caught another fish. I said, well, this is crazy. So I'm sitting there scratching my head, and so I said, all right, God, you do things three times. In the Bible, it says something about three times with Nathan or something, and I just had it stuck in my head. So I said, all right, three times a charm. If you can do it a third time, then I know for sure that it was you who put that fish on my hook. So I cast the line out there. And wouldn't you know, a fish come out of the water and grab the hook right as it just barely graced the water. The fish got it. So I was floored. I'm sitting there just in awe. I was in a very private area, a little cove, and there's no way anybody could walk up to me because of the cliff behind me unless if I saw them somehow. And just right out of the behind of a rock, this beautiful woman just pops right up. And I just, I mean, I was like so surprised. And I was also very, I didn't feel very good about myself. I didn't have good self-esteem. So I wasn't going to say anything to her, but she walked right up to me and introduced herself and how are you doing? And I was surprised that somebody that beautiful would want to talk to me. So I don't remember most of the conversation, but I do remember when she left, she turned around and she goes, "Do you believe in God?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I sure do." And I told her my little story about the fish. And anyway, she said to me, "Well, I have to go. The others are waiting for me." And that's the way that she phrased it. And she went to walk away, and she walked behind this rock, and it's, as you're like walking down, you know, you could see that the way the land is going down, she just walked around the rock, and it would have covered her head, and I thought that she was just crouching down, so I went and walked around, and she was gone. And it occurred to me later on that I probably experienced an angel there at the seaside. So I just wanted to share that story.
Well, that's a fantastic story. You know, I've heard over the years, I've heard a number of angel stories. And that what you told me falls right in line. The angels that, the angel stories that I've heard, the angels are never preachy. You know, they just make a point.
And, yeah, kind of like that TV show.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think. See, I used to be a fisherman. I live out here in the desert now. But I used to live in Louisiana, where there were swamps and lakes everywhere, and I used to fish almost every day. And I got to tell you, you catch three in a row like that real quick, there has to be some divine intervention.
Well, I'm going to agree with you tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't have any doubt that that was an angel. I mean, you know, it was just kind of, it sounds like it was kind of putting the period at the end of the sentence for you.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. It was just, it just cinched it up. I have another angel story, but I'll save that one for another night.
All right.
Thank you very much for letting me share this one.
Well, thanks for sharing it, Perry, and have a good evening. All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. If you're in the USA, or if you're in Canada, the 888 number is toll-free. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is James from Texas, and I had to call in.
James, I can tell from the voice that it's you, but it's breaking up so bad. And, you know, we had perfect telephone last night, but you're breaking up real bad. We'll try to catch what you say.
Any better now?
Just barely.
I told Mike about this, so sometime, so he'll verify it. This caller that's telling him about an angel story.
James, listen, I'm going to ask you to call us again, okay? Because the connection we've got is so bad we can't understand what you're saying.
Sure.
Okay. All right. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message in lieu of making a telephone call. And you do that by going to my website And on the website, you'll see a link that says flash message, and you can just scroll down. You'll see that, and click that, and we'll be glad to read your comments or your questions. Consider if they have found in some areas of our universe 90% more galaxies than they knew were there. In that area of the universe, did the universe grow by 90%? No, we did. Our knowledge did. It grew by 90%. Last week, they weren't there as far as we knew. This week, we know they are there. So, we have lots and lots of knowledge yet to discover. We are just on the very tip of the pen. All right, caller, hang on, and we'll get to you first up after the break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and I think we've got James back on the line. Am I correct?
Yes, you have. Can you hear me?
It's much better.
All right. I had to call because of the fish story. I had one myself. We have a town just west of here, Granbury, and they have a lake. In fact, the lake's almost in the middle of the town. And
I've been fishing in Lake Granbury, by the way.
Great. Great. Well, it's a very pretty lake.
It is.
It does have a nuclear reactor not too far, though.
Mm-hmm.
I go back behind Spillway the first day that they open, and they didn't allow anyone back there. And I get there before light. I bought these big crawdads because I want to catch a big catfish. So I go back down into the Spillway, and I bait a couple of spinners that I have and cast them out with these big crawdads. So I'm there for a while, and I catch a bass or every now and then, but not anything that I want to eat. So we get to about 9 o'clock, and it's getting a little bit warm. It's May the 1st. So I catch the 9-pound drum. Do you know what a drum is?
Okay, you broke up, but I think you said drum.
Drum.
Yeah.
They're in a carp.
Yeah.
Family, but they're a beautiful fish.
Mm-hmm.
I catch this big drum. He's beautiful. And I put him on my stringer. So I throw it out again, and a little while later, I catch another one that's just about exactly the same size as the first one. And I put him on the stringer. So I decide now I'll try for bass. I'll throw into the deep part of the Spillway. And suddenly I feel somebody behind me, and I turn and look, and there's a small man in a white suit wearing a white Panama hat. And he's spotless. And so he said to me, "What are you going to do with those drums?" And I'm kind of annoyed. I know that this individual is not ordinary. And so I turn around at him and I said, "I don't know, I'll probably give him to some Mexicans they'll eat." And he says, "You're not going to eat?" And I said, "No, I don't eat carp and drum." And he says, "Well, if you're not going to eat, I wish you would throw them back." And when I come across someone like this, a man that's very gentle or like some of the colors, it's all I can do to keep from messing with them because I'm just devilish that way. And I said to him, I said, and I used nail color in language. I said, "If you want to let those something or others go, then you blankety blank, let them go." And he looks at me and he smiles, just the sweetest smile you ever saw on a man. And he goes into the water, and he's wearing these nice, real nice shoes, got to the water like, you know, that's not a consideration at all. Pulls that string up, lets his fish off, brings me the stringer, and says, "You want your stringer?" I go, "What the hell do I want that thing? There's no fish on it." And I'm just messing with him left and right to see if I can get a rise out of him. And then he says, "I want to thank you very much." And he turns and he walks, and I turn my back, and I turn around, and he's gone. And I told this story to Mike some time ago. He can vouch for it. And it's a little different than your callers. But, I mean, it's virtually the same thing. And he calls them angels out there. And it's the sweetest experience you'll ever have. And you cannot rattle them. I mean, I tried it.
Interesting story. All right. James, I want to thank you for the call. All right. Well, lots and lots of folks out there have had encounters with something that they interpret as being angels. And, you know, the interesting thing is I don't think I ever had anybody tell me that they met an angel that had wings and a halo and like you see in all the paintings and stuff. I've never heard anybody tell me they saw one of those. It always looks like just a man or a woman, but there's some quality about them that's quite different, very, very different. And usually there's some sort of real simple but profound lesson that the person goes away from that encounter with some profound lesson that they've learned. And yet no profound statements were made. So they're very interesting encounters. And, is that paranormal? Well, sure, it's not normal. It doesn't happen to you every day. So it's paranormal. It's not abnormal, but it's paranormal. And a whole lot of stuff that people classify as either spiritual or religious, they get real squeamish when you start saying, well, that's paranormal too. But it is, you know, the world of the paranormal includes everything that has no scientific explanation, which, by the way, is most of the universe. Back to that cosmos, 90%, they found 90% more galaxies. Those galaxies were paranormal to us until this week, because we didn't even know they were there. There they were. We didn't even know they were there. And people say, well, you know, if it's real, when we talk about paranormal stuff, well, if this or that is real, then how come you can't see this or that? Well, are those galaxies real? You can't see them. I'll tell you something else. Is Pluto real? Unless you have a really powerful telescope, you can't see Pluto. So, in fact, most light you can't see. We can only see in a very narrow bandwidth of light. But there's a very broad bandwidth above and below what we can see. It's very real, but you can't see it. But anything for which there's no scientific explanation, by definition, is paranormal. And so, yeah, I think I would put angels in the category of paranormal as well. Also, I've never talked to anyone that met an angel that had a negative experience with that. Maybe there are some, but I've never heard one. All right, we're almost out of time. I want to remind everyone, if you have not joined the members area, be sure you do so you can get in on all the special stuff. And we've got a special stuff coming this Saturday with Jerry Wills. Jerry is going to do a special edition of his show, and we're going to televise that in the members area. But you have to be a member in order to do that, and it's 23 cents a day. Okay, it's not like 23 cents an hour. It's 23 cents a day. So it's just $6.95 a month. You can join right now. All right, that's a wrap for this evening. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I want to thank everyone that called in and everyone that sent us a flash message. This is all about you. It really, really is. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.